Welcome back to We Are Listening, an audio broadcast. I'm your host, Jelaine Skyers. This is part two in a four-part series on the UN Convention on the Rights of the Child. This November marks 20 years since the convention was agreed upon by 192 countries to protect children all over the world. In part two in our four-part series, youth in Ontario explore what the right to education means to kids in the foster care system and if the convention goals are a reality for at-risk youth in Canada.
Parties recognize the right of the child to education with a view to achieving this right progressively and on the basis of equal opportunity. They shall make primary education compulsory and available free to all. Encourage the development of different forms of secondary education, including general and vocational education. Make them available and accessible to every child. And take appropriate measures such as the introduction of free education and offering financial assistance in case of need. Make higher education accessible to all on the basis of capacity by every appropriate means. Make educational and vocational information and guidance available and accessible to all children. Take measures to encourage regular attendance at schools and the reduction of dropout rates. States parties shall take all appropriate measures to ensure that school discipline is administered in a manner consistent with the child's human dignity and in conformity with the present convention.
Article 28 is what was just read, and it talks about the importance and significance of education. What do you guys think?
I think it's important because it's something to fall back on. It's something that you always have and you can always go find a job. Knowledge is the key to life.
I think it's like a fundamental part of life because if you think back, like, nothing great has been achieved without education. Like, Obama would not be president if he was not an educated man. And nowadays, it's you are absolutely no one if you don't have a degree.
Is education a right?
Yes, it is.
Because that means they have to give it to you.
Who's they?
The government.
So for you, think here, is education a right?
Yes, it is.
And how does that sort of play out, like, in everyday life?
If you're still in, like, foster home or group home, they force you to go to school. So, for example, they will wake you up in the morning and, you know, some people make breakfast for you, some people don't. Depends on where you live.
Okay, so are there challenges with accessing, like, education here? Accessing post-secondary education in high school? Are there any challenges with that? Because it's your right, so what do you do?
I think there's challenges. I think challenges to post-secondary school is that people don't appreciate the right that they have.
When you go to university and you have those huge classes and sometimes your teacher, like, he doesn't even know your name, he doesn't, like, it's so, like, distant that you don't get that one-on-one time. Like, a lot of, like, kids either fail or find it so difficult because you don't even get that personal time to just sit and talk.
I think also, like, the education system in general as a whole is far from being imperfect because, like, each individual thinks differently and learns differently, and the way the system is set up is, like, one way. So if you learn that way, it's good for you.
Made sure I sat myself down, which is kind of awkward. And I told myself I needed to finish high school because it was for me. And not everybody, I think, has that mentality where they can tell themselves, you know what, you need to do that for you. But I think that we don't have the family support as much, so we don't go as far, and we don't think we need to go as far. And a lot of us get damaged through the care system telling us that we're not going to become anything or we're not going to do this and that. So I think that's a big reason why.
Does gender play a role in education in any ways?
Most of the teachers, once they hear you're a child in care, they think that you're a bad child, so already they start to label you. And they don't even treat you as fairly. because they think they're just going to cause trouble and that's it.
I think it goes more for guys than girls because, like, guys, they get labeled with, like, behavioral problems and all that kind of stuff. Whereas, like, girls are just like, oh, you're a youth in care, whatever, she'll be pregnant soon. Like, that's, no, pretty much really all they look at you as.
I think education is the key for your success in your life because you need to stay in school, no matter what it is. You know, where I come from, we didn't have no education. You know what I'm saying? And that really pained me in my ass. Because education for me has meant a lot to me, you know what I mean? Because I stick in school, I graduate, and now I'm in college, you know, and things come up, you know, those kind of things, like family issues, living situation, money, you know, you need those kind of things, but you need the kind of thing. You need people to help you, to boost you ahead. If you don't have those boosts, I don't know. Other thing I notice, people here, they take a granted education. They don't really pay attention for education in this country.
I do think that there is a form of streaming for youth in care with school and stuff, or like children coming in from foster care, because their history is like given to the school when they move from various schools. And before you go into the classrooms, the teacher already know who you are and have a record of you. So when you get there, it's like they know who you are, they know your record, and they treat you a certain way.
Can somebody define sort of education for me? Like, when you talk about education, what does that mean to you? Like, what are you talking about?
Like, gain knowledge to get smarter, to become a better person, I guess.
I think make you, like, more of a well-rounded person. I guess they should pretty much give you the fundamentals and then, like, make you, I guess, more, like, refined at the same time.
To me, it's like a source of information with no limitations. That's what it means to me.
Okay, so who, before this conversation, has heard about the UN Convention? So there's like three, four people. And what did you think about it? What did you think about the convention?
I just thought it's like a bunch of rules that, I didn't really see the importance of it. Because I didn't really heard of them before. I was told about it, and then yeah. I just read it. Like, I don't really think they're important because no one enforces them, really. Sure, they're there, but how many people actually follow them?
I heard about them when I was in a program, I think 2 or 3 years ago. It was the same thing. It was like, okay, you have these articles, you have all these things, but nothing's being enforced. And I personally know that there's children and youth in the world who are not in school, even though they have a right to it. So what's the point of having this article if it can't be enforced? Like, if there's no way to ensure that children actually are actually like being educated or being like pushed into school.
What do you think that Ontario should be doing and Canada should be doing in terms of education and educational rights?
I think they should educate people about the convention and the rules and articles in it and enforce them a little bit more. I'm just saying we should teach in schools the actual importance of education, that should be show like videos of the consequences of not going to school.
Like exchanging. Like take a Canadian student from Toronto.
Make it a reality TV show or something.
Send them to like a town in Africa and have them exchange like a class like that, so then you actually appreciate where your like situation is and appreciate, you know, all the people from generations before you that have like fought to get you all the rights you have.
I think when you're a child of the state, there comes responsibility with that. And I think it's very important for us as youth and, you know, whether we're in care right now or former youth in care or no children care, I think it's very important that we acknowledge the fact that we have a right to certain things and we should be exercising that. And we shouldn't let, like, you know, to put all the blame on yourself because you didn't ask to come into care, you didn't ask to be put in your situation. This is your situation, this is what has happened.
But if they don't do their job, then who's going to accept that blame?
Any other message that you guys have around education?
You need to make sure that all my rights are being met. And if they're not being met, is that my fault? Let's say you're not in school all the time and you don't know how to read or write. When you're 16, that's not going to change overnight. It's going to take time, right? So education is very important, but the people who are around you who make huge decisions for your life need to also take that into consideration as well.
You stick on your own experience, but education is the key. No matter what it is, man, I discovered education for me is the key for my success. That's it. And we need more teachers, more funds.
Welcome back to part two of We Are Listening, an audio broadcast. The voice you've just heard were youth in and from Ontario foster care system. Next, they discussed the barriers youth at risk face in accessing their rights to education. But first, a break with a spoken word performance.
Starving for information. See, these kids, they're seeking an inbound intervention. All of them is their stomach growling, but nobody is listening. The underprivileged can't get past the line of scrimmage, and how could they avoid a blitz when the left and the right guard is missing? See, the whole front line is crippled. The defense is also the offense, so it really makes it no competition with no chance of winning. They're forced to take a loss, and then we wonder why they are quitting. Maybe it's because of the pressure. The pressure of success. Success can hold this high materialistic bar for those who can't reach it or engage into distress. See, all the youth have the dream of being a big star, but what else can they think when their favorite song is telling them you ain't nothing without a hot car? They say you ain't nothing without a hot C-A-R. Vroom, vroom. Pull up in the Toyota Camry. Gas tank on full, but you ain't going F-A-R. Bling, bling, signifies large. Only reinforcing that you ain't shining, dog. If you ain't a star, it's even worse if you ain't showing off at all. And it's a low down dirty shame. Urban media is literally telling us that you might as well drop dead if ain't nobody screaming our name. See, the world is so vain, and sometimes I think I'm a victim of this exact same thing. David, David, David. How I beg you to hear that ring. See, if it ain't one thing, it's another. Just got straight A's, came home, found a father beating down a mother. Imagine going through the streets because you feel like no one loves you, because these concretes raise up and hug your feet, and it's like, damn. That embracement really touched you, because these concretes, they sing to a beat which will lead you innocently as you pay attention to its speech. Stoop, kid, don't be scared to leave the stoop. Can't you see your friends out here making that loot? You got grades, but they got brand new shoes and brand new gear, but they got room for you. It's not that dangerous as long as you know what to do, plus you've got intelligence, so this must be destined for you. You stoop, kid, became a street kid, but now he's dead. You still kid and became a street kid was on the wrong side of the percentage. That's the statistic that we try to ignore. But blind eyes realize this is real life going on. Open mind and subscribe to the youth to make sure that positive future lives on. And so on, we go on and go forth, so forth, that these princes and princesses will go on the whole course as kings and queens. Right now they say they got nothing. But seeds are planting those concretes. We need to brush them off the scrub them. See where I'm from, we call those dreams.
Everyone has a right to an education, right? But what if you are always moved from school to school? What if no one checks up on your homework? What if you have no money for college or university? Now we hear youth in and from around foster care talk about many obstacles that can stop a child from seizing their right to an education.
Does everyone in this room, do all children and youth and everyone in this room sitting here in Canada have a right to education?
Yes.
Yeah.
What does that look like for you? Do you know?
It means that...
superseded the educational component at the time.
Resources that are connected to it. So do people have comments about the resources that are available to young people when it comes to education? Who should be paying for that? Or
things should be free.
Like
a year
student loans, yeah. And interest free. Interest after you finish school.
That means it should just be what you borrow is what you pay instead of interest on top.
I think we should all sign up for lower tuition fees. I know I did.
Me too.
Yep.
I don't think there should be any tuition fees because in Europe, their education is pretty much free.
Yeah, I don't think there should be tuition fees either because students come out of the school and they end up building.
I know, you educate the country, then the country will do better. Instead of,
weigh the statistics and be like, oh, well, not a lot of people are going to post-secondary. Well, if everybody could afford post-secondary, I'm pretty sure we'd all be there. But, not a lot of people have that opportunity. Some people do have to finish high school, pick up a trade, and start their lives early.
For instance, like me, I'm 21, right? So the fact that I don't get supported anymore when I do go and I'm taking OSAP, it's like I need something that pays my rent, I need something that pays my bills. Like, so at the end of the day, that's even more debt, and they don't even give you all the money to pay your bills. I don't know.
Yeah, it's kind of like, am I going to go to school? Or am I going to keep a roof over my head?
Yeah, and that's what it comes down to a lot of the times.
And I think the other thing is that not everyone can actually get OSAP. Because if you, were, not bad, but if you had some challenges when you were young and you took out a credit card because you could and, you got some sort of bad credit, then there's a good chance that you don't qualify for OSAP. So that in and of itself is putting, limitations and restrictions on particular individuals who can't. Because, what if you incurred, a huge amount of debt and you finished your high school diploma? You can barely get a job with a degree, so where are you going to work with a high school diploma and be able to pay back your debt and then go to post-secondary school? And then if you do get your loan, again, how are you going to afford to sort of live and be a student at the same time or produce good, quality work?
Stability, you think of a stable, happy household, they're fine in school. After all your home drama, you're feeling very lethargic. You don't have time or the energy to think about what's going on at school. Because pretty much I think everything starts in the home. If you're not good at home, you're not gonna be good outside.
If you actually have stability where you have loving parents that actually care about your day and what you learned in school, when you sit around your dinner table at night after they slaved and cooked you a nice meal, and they actually talk to you and care and say good job, that's different versus go to school, wake up in the morning, make sure you come home or I'm calling the police and then finally AWOL.
Or it's even thinking about it, okay, I spent 3 months at this house, 2 days at that one, 4 weeks at this one, how long am I going to be here? Do I have time to really worry about school or think about what's going to happen to me next?
But why are they moving the person around? Are they moving him?
Various issues. Yeah, there are different reasons, but at the end of the day, I'm still being moved.
Still messing
and I'm the
with
one
you.
That's being, I myself as a child was the one who was affected by all of that. So regardless of what was happening around me with all the moves and all the discussions and everything else, everyone, nobody thought about how my education would have been affected by moving me to so many different places.
Because it's
when it wasn't a priority, right? It is not my responsibility, right?
Thank you.
I'm in the care of the state. It's the state's responsibility to ensure they removed me from my parents' home. It is their responsibility to ensure that I'm in the best care and that all my rights are being met. If my rights are not being met, I call the advocacy office if I had known about them at the time. The social worker of the state, the social services, should have been more responsible with ensuring that I was not removed to so many different schools and that I have a right to education. If
okay, 16, my mom put me back into care again with my little brother. I remember, we're like, okay, fine, we're gonna be together. Then my little brother, yes, we argue, yes, we fight, but that's my brother. He's my world. Like, if anything happens to him, like, he's like my own. And to see us, like, literally have to watch the car move away with my little brother, going to school the next day, what test was I focusing on? I was wondering, did my brother eat last night? Where did he sleep? What happened to him?
And like, also, how are you supposed to focus on school if you don't know if you're moving the next day or staying here?
Path that they're gonna take. For other people who haven't chosen that, you guys want to say why or?
Because it's easier. You come out of high school and you really don't want to go to college and you know what's gonna happen in the end and you can find like a part-time job or a full-time job working at God knows where or God knows who, where, with what, right? It's easier for you to do that and to just continue because you know you're living day by day. You might be living by check, but you know what? It's comfortable for you. You're in a stable environment. You know where your bed is at nighttime. You're not worried about what's gonna happen next. You might be worried about your bills or what's gonna happen with your bills.
Okay, I think a lot of people who come out of care are scared, even though they don't admit it, scared to go to poor secondary because they're so used to the fact of failing, and it's like such a big transition that they like don't believe in themselves and they don't believe they can do it.
I think there's barriers even if you go to second, post-second education for kids in care because sometimes like people go in secondary and they pick their course. And they don't like the course, but they already paid for it, and their funding goes to one course. So when they don't want to take and want to switch, the money's not there to go to the next course. Like, I don't know, I find like a lot of kids in care go to the post-secondary, and then they end up not liking that place, or they don't do as well because, you know, it's harder than they thought, and then they drop all, and then to go back, it's really hard. And once you go to OSAP and you waste your OSAP, it's not really going to accept you the next time, sometimes. Or if the foundation gives you money and you fail, they're not going to give you more money most times. You know what I'm saying? And I think, like, this is more planning for kids before they go to the post-secondary to plan what do you really want to do in your life. Because most times you only have one shot to give the funding to go.
So any other message that you guys have around education?
Lower tuition fees!
Yes.
Yes.
Welcome back to We Are Listening, an audio broadcast. This November marks the 20th year since the UN Convention on the Right of the Child. Coming up in part 3, the right to identity, we thank the Ontario Advocate for Children and Youth, as well as the Network Community Group, the East Metro York Centre, and the Lost Lyric Project for these interviews and performance. For more information, please visit provincialadvocate.on.ca. I've been your host, Jelaine Skyres.